Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Lingraphica Radio. This is part one of a four-part series about Aphasia Awareness Month. It happens every June, and this year we're very excited to share our Lingraphica Radio shows with Dr. Audrey Holland, who's with us for the entire month. Four total shows. Today you get to listen in as Lisa Haynes, Manager of Clinical Affairs at Lingraphica, has a chat with Audrey about the importance of Aphasia Awareness Month. For those few people listening who might not know Dr. Audrey Holland, she was Regents Professor of Speech and Hearing Sciences at the University of Arizona. Now retired, she is still helping people with aphasia. Dr. Holland was a founder of Aphasia Access and continues to promote public education, research, rehabilitation, and support services to assist people with aphasia and those who care for them. Dr. Holland has published over 145 research articles, book chapters, and reviews, in addition to editing three books and developing the test of functional communication known as CADL. And now, without further ado, I turn the show over to Lisa Haynes. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Steve. Thank you very much. And thank you, Dr. Holland, for joining us today and actually the next few weeks. Great. So I'll start out with my first question to you, and that is, why is it important for people to know what aphasia is?
Well, the major reason is that aphasia occurs so frequently among people who've had strokes. It probably occurs in 30 to 40% of people who have had strokes, and strokes, as you know, are one of the most common disorders in this country and in many others as well. And the problem is that people with aphasia, of course, have difficulty in talking and in understanding what other people say, so they can't really speak for themselves. So it's important for other people to know about this problem and to be involved in the process of making life with aphasia as full as it possibly can be.
So you've mentioned that aphasia occurs among stroke survivors,
right.
and that's
right.
30 to 40% for those who have aphasia.
Right.
What accounts for the other 60 to 70% of those with aphasia?
Oh, I didn't mean it that way. I meant for people who have had strokes, 30% of them are likely to have aphasia. Aphasia also comes with a number of other disorders as well, but by far the most common, like in some forms of head injury and in some other kinds of damage to the central nervous system. But by far the largest proportion of people who have aphasia are people who have had strokes. So strokes, of course, happen largely to people who are elderly or 65 or above, but not totally. And it's an interesting thing that stroke itself is becoming more common among younger folks. So it isn't just a problem of old people like me. It is also a problem of younger people as well.
So speaking of stroke survivors, and you mentioned that stroke now, we're seeing it more and more with younger people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there ever a time that that aphasia is age-related?
Well, it occurs more frequently among people over 65, but that doesn't mean that there are not a lot of younger people. And I believe the age is probably dropping. I think it's the mean age of stroke has dropped maybe 2 or 3 years in the last perhaps 5 years. So it is not just a problem of aging.
Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Holland, what are some of the challenges that someone with aphasia may encounter?
Well, from my perspective, I think the biggest problem that people with aphasia encounter is that they've lost their major way of stating who they are and getting along in the world and being able to participate as fully in life as they would like to. Some people with aphasia can't read. Other people with aphasia have trouble talking. So there are a lot of language-like problems that come along with stroke, and that's the big category called aphasia. And when you have trouble talking, it significantly limits your ability to lead the kind of life you want to live and the life you have been living. So it's a major deterrent to being a fully functioning person in society. And so we have to do things to help people with aphasia go around their language problems and to some degree lessen them. So it's a major challenge. But I think there are a number of other problems too. Briefly, I think one of the things that tends to happen to people with aphasia, since they can't talk, and since the disorder is not terribly well known, and that's a problem in and of itself, if people can't talk, one of the assumptions that's often made is that they have lost intelligence. And that isn't the case with people who have aphasia. It's a loss of language, not a loss of intellect. And that's an important thing for people with aphasia and their families to communicate to other people as well.
And so why is this month-long initiative so critical for individuals with aphasia and their caregivers and the professionals that serve them?
Largely because since people with aphasia have difficulty in talking about their disorder, it's just simply not as well known as are some disorders that are actually less frequently occurring, like Parkinson's disease, for example. So more people know about Parkinson's disease because they have spokespeople who can talk and inform the rest of the world about aphasia. So this is a month when all of us who work with people with aphasia and all of us who provide services for people with aphasia, and hopefully all of the people who are involved with individuals who have aphasia and aphasic people themselves, should be about the business of letting the world know and increasing the awareness of the problem nationally and internationally. So that's what the point of this whole month is.
Agreed. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about what Lingraphica is doing this year to support Aphasia Awareness Month. So, first of all, if you haven't seen it, or if those listening haven't seen it, if you go to facesofaphasia.com, that's facesofaphasia.com, we are now partners with the National Aphasia Association and many other aphasia organizations and centers, and together we're sharing the stories of individuals with aphasia and the clinicians and loved ones and caregivers who support them on their aphasia journeys. So again, that's facesofaphasia.com. We also have a new ebook, and it's called What to Expect When You're Not Expecting Aphasia. And this is also available on facesofaphasia.com. It's a free download. And we have a free poster. It is the Aphasia Journey poster. And this seems to be a popular item with clinicians, in particular, to post in their office or in their clinic. And we send this through the mail once individuals have requested it, and again, through facesofaphasia.com. Finally, we are sharing a fact a day about aphasia through our social media channels. And this will be every day through the month of June. You'll just need to follow along Facebook and Twitter and share the content to spread the word. And actually, there is one more thing, and that is our weekly interviews with you, Dr. Holland. That will be through the entire month of June. So, Dr. Hong,
to it.
Great. And just one more question here. And if there was one change you could ask of everyone out there who has perhaps minimal awareness of aphasia, what would it be?
Well, that's a really hard question to answer with just one thing, Lisa. And
mm-hmm.
I have been thinking about this question ever since I knew you were going to ask me. But it seems to me that one thing we could ask of everyone out there who does understand aphasia is to communicate what this problem is like to people who don't have that kind of awareness of aphasia. You may know somebody else in your family, anyone may know someone else in their family who has had a stroke and who has aphasia. That aphasia might be very different from the one your family member now has. So it's a matter of getting everybody educated about the need for an opportunity for people with aphasia to develop their social connections, to work on improving their language skills, and to help people with aphasia live their life. I've been saying this a lot, but it's, to me, the most important thing, is to help other people know about aphasia so that people with aphasia can regain their wanted place in society again. So this is, it's a matter of getting everybody on the bandwagon, and the people who do that the best are people who have aphasia, people who have family members who are currently having aphasia or who have had aphasia in the past, and it's a professional responsibility as well. But that's the one thing, to get the world more knowledgeable about this problem and about the many things that can be done to help someone get back to the life they most prefer to live. I feel like I'm preaching, but I really think that's a really critical goal for Aphasia Awareness Month, and actually for all of us who are involved with the problem of aphasia. What do you think it is, Lisa, the most important thing?
The most important thing?
Yeah.
You know, I think it really comes down to staying connected with people. And you can't have that connection if there isn't an awareness.
Right.
And we are living in a world where we communicate in many different ways. Phone, face-to-face, email, text messaging, and even back-and-forth posting with social media. And despite communication challenges, there's still a way to connect. And there's been there's a wall, of course, up around you when you have a communication disorder and you have these challenges. I think this awareness, along with what aphasia is, I think we should pair that up with remember our multiple ways of communicating. So
right.
That despite
Absolutely.
These challenges, despite these challenges of communicating, there's another path. We are all multimodal communicators. There is still a way to communicate. And don't shut people out. And if you have aphasia, don't allow yourself to be shut out.
Good point. Very good point.
Well, Dr. Holland and Lisa, thank you very much. This has been a great show, and I appreciate you guys joining in. And I want to thank you, the listeners, for helping us to spread awareness of aphasia during and after Aphasia Awareness Month. We hope this is a year-round gain in awareness to help people with aphasia. Please visit facesofaphasia.com, and while you're there, please share it with your social networks using hashtag facesofaphasia. But also, please talk to people that you know that are in and around the world of aphasia or helping a loved one with aphasia, and get them to put their story up on the website. It's very easy to post a story. It's very easy to share the stories of other folks. Join us next week as Audrey Holland returns for a discussion with Dr. Richard Steele, Lingraphica's chief scientist, regarding the life participation approach to aphasia. The week after that, the third week of June, Audrey will return and discuss the importance of caregivers in helping people with aphasia. In our fourth and final show, she'll return to discuss aphasia research and innovation, where we go in the future. Thanks again, Audrey. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you,
Steve. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye.